Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. Ready to get back in our Father's Word. 23rd chapter of Exodus. That's the going out, or you might say the coming home. Entering the promised land. This was a type of old going into the promised land. But these are the examples by which we enter the promised land today. We're coming up on that time. And we're in that generation of the fig tree, so it makes this very, very important. We have covered the Ten Commandments in the 20th chapter of this great book. And in 21, 22, now we're in 23, he gives the finer points of the law, explaining them in common sense, how to interpret them. And in this chapter 23, from about verse 6 through 9, It is advice to a judge, how a judge should handle his judicial duties. And in 7, you don't rest the judgment of the poor in his cause. In other words, you don't look down on somebody because they're poor. There's no respecter of persons to a true judge. He only judges right from wrong in God's eyes. And in verse 7 to the judges, don't you ever, ever listen to a false witness. You can spot them. Now, we pick it up in the 8th verse today as we begin this, chapter 23, a word of wisdom from our Father. And again, this being to the judges, verse 8, and it reads, "And thou shalt take no gift, for the gift blindeth the wise and perverteth the words of the righteous." In other words, money will taint a situation. People that will take a bribe should never set themselves up as a judge, because they're going to be a sorry judge, and a sorry judge it will be, because it blinds them, the money blinds them to true judgment. It closes their eyes and mind, the eyes of their mind, spiritual mind, to how a judgment should take place. So, you always judge fairly and never, ever, ever take a bribe. It does blind. Money is, a lot of people would say it's the root of all evil. That's only if you allow it. If you're rich with the blessings of God, then that's a blessing. But man's thievery, bribery, and misusing God's plan is a curse. You'll always be looking over your shoulder. You'll never have a minute's peace. You'll never be able to enjoy it. But don't ever apologize for being rich if God has blessed you because you've been a good servant. Okay, and continuing then with verse 9. "And thou shalt not oppress a stranger, for ye know the heart of a stranger." You know how the soul reacts to that. "Seeing you were strangers in the land of Egypt." In other words, this is one of the reasons that God allowed Israel to be in captivity those years. To find out what it's like to be a slave. To find out what it's like to be a stranger in a distant land. How you operate and how thankful you are for your freedom, that you'll fight to protect it. That you will always want to protect it. But don't ever come down outside of law on a stranger, but treat him according to law, justly. And if a stranger commits a crime, hey, boot him out. That's common sense. That is law and bylaw. But don't ever condemn a stranger just because he is a stranger if he is legal. Verse 10. "And 6 years thou shalt sow thy land, and shalt gather in the fruits thereof." And so it is. You treat your land like God would have you treat it if you want it to be good for you. Well, what do you do then the seventh year? 11. "But the seventh year thou shalt let it rest and lie still, that the poor of thy people may eat, and what they leave the beast of the field shall eat, In like manner, thou shalt deal with thy vineyard and with thy olive yard. In other words, don't pick any of the grapes commercially or as your livelihood. And if the poor come by and they want to gather grapes from that year of lying still, God will honor that. Same way with olives, with the oil of our people. That way the poor have it. And then, naturally, the wild creatures of God. God loves his creatures. Are able to participate and feed themselves. But the land itself isn't driven. This holds true. You know, it's amazing to me that our agriculture department some years back came to this same conclusion. Every seventh year, let your land lay out. Well, isn't that terrific that science finally catches up to the Word of God? And so it is. It's part of agriculture even to this day. And verse 12, we continue. 6 days thou shalt do thy work, and on the seventh day thou shalt rest. That thine ox and thine ass may rest, and the son of thy handmaid and the stranger may be refreshed. The Sabbath, or what is Sabbath? It means rest. That's what the word means, being translated, rather than transliterated. And it means exactly that. And as Christ would teach, the Sabbath was not made for Almighty God. The Sabbath was made for man. That if you take that rest, that you can still accomplish as much on 6 days as you would if you drove somebody 7 days a week and never gave them any rest. They'll still get more done if you give them that day. 13, and in all things that I have said unto you, be circumspect, that is to say, you be real careful, you take heed. In all these things I've said to you, you be careful and make no mention of the name of other gods, neither let it be heard out of thy mouth. Our Father's jealous. He will not put up with it. So, therefore, any other doctrine, and this is what really accounts, is doctrine. There are many churches, it's what doctrine they teach that sets aside, what doctrine is it you're supposed to have? The Word of God. You know, that's not that complicated. Our Father is a jealous God. Now, here's the way the old ball bounces and the cookie crumbles. If you're pleasing God, he's going to be pleased with you. He's going to bless you. You make him jealous, and you start playing around with other doctrines, he's going to pull away all the blessings from you, and boy, you're going to have a tough life. It's going to be one bitter old go. But you could have had the blessings of God. Verse 14. 3 times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. Now, many people will write me and they'll say, how often should I take Holy Communion? This is it, 3 times a year. As oft as you shall gather. And this is when people gathered, was at Passover, at Pentecost, and at Feast of Tabernacles, 3 times a year. Now, I have nothing against people taking communion every week, but it's awful easy to turn that into a ritual where it loses the beautiful meaning of Passover. And when it loses that meaning of Passover, then you missed out on one of the most precious things, inasmuch as it is written in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6 and 7, Christ became our Passover. He's our bread of life. He is the wine that washes away, his blood that washes away sin. Verse 15. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. That's Passover. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded thee. You do it just like I said. And again, and in the time appointed, unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded thee, in the time appointed of the month Abib, for in it thou camest out from Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. Do you believe that? Do you believe God? You keep the Passover and bring it up to date that Christ became our Passover. You're not going to appear before God empty. He's going to bless you. That's what he's talking about. Do you want to be blessed or do you want the world? The world's not going to bless you. The world is going to use you in any way that the worldly people see fit. But when you keep God's word, his commandments, don't make him jealous, serve him, you're not going to come before him empty. He's going to bless you. 16. And the feast of harvest, the first fruits. This is Pentecost, okay? The early harvest of thy labors when thou hast sown in the field. And that's 50 days later. Do you realize that on the solar calendar, that our calendar is made up from the first of Abib to count 15 days to Passover, and then start with a set of 50s, and you hit these other feasts right on the nose, and when you do this seven times plus the 15, you have the full year. That's a solar year. How precious it is to serve God. You know, moons change. They're only 28 point so and so long. But the sun is always the same. And we are children of light, or I hope you are. And in serving God, you're never going to come up empty. He will always be there to lead and bless you. And don't you ever forget it. And as we continue then, have sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering, this is the fall feast, which is at the end of the year, when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field. And of course, this being the Feast of Tabernacles at the equinox in the fall, when on that 50th day, when the solar sun, would go down the center of the outer steps, the center of the next set of steps, right through the door to the temple of the Holy of Holies, and shine right on the mercy seat. Then right into the Holy of Holies. Then that's the way the calendar was arranged by God's calendar, the sun. And little known, but that's exactly the way it was. That's the way the calendar was set. That's why it was called the new year, but that is the civil year, not the beginning of the year. I'll repeat it. The spiritual year begins in Abib, and the civil year would begin at this time, the Feast of Tabernacles. Verse 17 to continue. Three times in the year all thy males shall appear before the Lord God. Verse 18, thou shalt not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread, neither shall the fat of my sacrifice remain until the morning. This sacrifice, the word is feast. You don't leave it there. You're not even supposed to partake of the fat, okay? That belongs to God. But what this means is, let's break it down and bring it up to date, because many of these things were nailed to the cross, as you'll read in Colossians chapter 2. Christ became our Passover. Christ is the bread of life. When you partake of that bread, it is certainly not leaven. It is unleavened. Christ is unleavened, meaning there is no sin there. And that is the... And the offer of the blood is the very cup itself that Christ blessed. And when you partake of that today, that is the very table of the Lord. And that is what Christ paid that price, whereby in taking that cup, his body received the stripes. You get the healing. And his blood was shed. And when you partake of that wine, then it cleanses you totally and completely when you are open to the living God. Three times a year, this is a very, very sacred and a very important thing. Verse 19. The first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring into the house of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not feed a kid in his mother's milk. Now, this, you know, I receive a lot of questions about this, and it's really a very simple thing. The mother cow will fight to the death for her young. Okay. They love their young. That's a mother, and that's the way God created a mother. And the very milk that she gives, that is supposed to nourish that little one and bring it up, then God considers it a terrible sin for you to take that same milk and feed that veal in it. Do you know why? I could equate it to a modern saying. It's like rubbing salt in the wound. That is just a terrible thing to do. It's an insult to the mother of that calf. And you might say, well, who could care whether it's an insult to the cow? Because she belongs to God. It's an insult to the Father. That's why he says, don't do it. You know, if you don't treat your animals properly, there's not much to you. A man that will abuse his animals will abuse his family. End of story. That's the way it is. You show me a man that won't take care of his livestock, and I'll show you somebody that will abuse anybody anywhere. You show me a person that will protect their livestock and tend to them, and I'll show you somebody that is a compassionate person, that's a good person. You see, there's a lot more said many times than is written. When you understand God's love for that he has created, then you derive the full meaning and the touch that God would have you receive from the saying. Verse 20, behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in thy way, in the way, and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Now, I know that many people, they'll, well, it must be Michael, it must be this. It's the angel of the Lord. It's the presence of the living God. He said, I'm going to be there. I'm going to look out for you. Do you know there is people still to this day, well, I'm a little afraid to go there. Well, you know, there are places you shouldn't go. But when you know the danger and you have analyzed it and you have protected yourself and gathered equalizers for where you need equalizers, God's going to be with you. And that is to say, the angel of the Lord is the very Spirit of God with you. It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the living God. And naturally, Emmanuel, God with us, the same Spirit applies. How precious it is that our Father makes that statement. What was it he said? Behold, I will send an angel before thee. Well, what exactly is the subject here? Entering the promised land. We've got quite a trip ahead of us, my friends. There will be many things the locust will perform in the swarming and the devour and the consumer coming. Are you equipped for that? Oh, it's really scary. No, the angel of the Lord will be with us. He'll be there. He will always show you beforehand what it is you should do and what it is and how you should serve him. You can take Father at his word. How precious it is that he is with you. You are in him, he is in you. And you can believe that. Father loves his children that love him. I'll say that again. Father loves his children that love him. Verse 21. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions. For my name is in him. Why? Because it is him. It's the angel of the Lord. And the Lord is the angel of Yahweh, the name of the living God. Verse 22. And if thou shalt indeed obey his voice, listen carefully, and do all that I speak. Well, who was that now that was there? I speak. Well, who's speaking? God is. I'm saying that for confirmation, so that you know who the angel of the Lord is. And I will be an enemy unto thine enemies, and an adversary unto thine adversaries. It doesn't get any better than that. You know, a true servant of the living God has nothing to fear. God always tips you off to trouble. God always he has a way of doing that. That he'll warn you, give you the warning, prepare the way, and he'll take care of business. When you're serving him, when you're obeying him, you have that right coming. You know, that is quite a promise, and it should take quite a bit of fear away from a lot of people. The fear of the unknown is what man fears, and God makes the unknown known to you. He lets you know what's going to happen. And even in these end times, your enemy is his enemy. Your adversary is his adversary. He knows how to take care of business. You and God make a majority. Verse 23 to continue. For mine angel shall go before thee, and bring thee in unto the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. Now, God takes care of our enemies for us. This is just like in entering the promised land. They said, there's giants over there. He had already cleaned house and told them so. But they wouldn't believe him. God is telling you today, I will take care of your enemies if you'll sharpen up, if you'll listen to what I say. Thing is, do you believe? 24. Thou shalt not bow down to their God. You stay away from them, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quiet break down their images. Quit. You're going to do it. I mean, put an end to it. Make a powder out of them. Father's jealous, okay? And you might say, well, how do you bow down to their... You want to be real careful. People can make up little gods. Do you understand that the Antichrist himself will be a little god? He was going to set himself up as a little god? You've read it. If you wake up to it, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, 5, do not marvel, for the son of perdition, which is to say Satan, will sit in Jerusalem showing the world that he is God. He's going to make himself a little god. And it is so easy. You might say, Well, I would never worship him. I'm going to be raptured right out of here. Oh, you know something? You've got a problem. Because that's the very message he's going to be using. I've come to fly you away. You're warned of that in Ezekiel chapter 13, verses 20 through 25. You see, Christ is coming here to establish a kingdom. That's what this is all about, is entering the promised land right here, in this good old world, this good old terra firma, this old Eretz. And so it is. Well, how do I know whether it's true or false? Do you understand God's word? If you're in a place that claims to be religious and they're not teaching this word but some other word, you're in a heap of hurt, friend. You make tracks and you come back to the living word of God. Chapter by chapter, verse by verse. 25. And you shall serve the Lord your God, not somebody else, Yahweh. And he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. You got that? You know, especially when they were wandering in the wilderness for those 40 years, their shoes didn't wear out. Their clothing didn't wear out. Father has a way of making things happen when you love him, when you follow him. 26, there shall nothing cast their young nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. Verse 27, I will send my fear before thee and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come, and I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. They're going to run. They're going to turn their backs and run. This is what upsets me when so many people grow fearful of the end times. Don't you know? God's on our side. We have him with us. He is our champion. The angel of God is with us. The angel of God puts to fright any demonic being that would want to come into the midst. 28. And I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, the Hittite from before thee. You know, there's many things that you can translate hornet. We even have an aircraft called the Hornet. The aircraft carrier called was the Hornet. And, you know, we have F-16s that really are little buzz jobs. Not so little. But we have ways of protecting this great nation which God has founded. In God we trust. And God has a way of protecting this great nation. People don't realize it. We that have had to do combat in foreign lands know this world can be much more bitter than somebody here might think if you've never been away from these shores. It's been sweet here. While we get into some hard times, yeah, you lose a little weight, don't you? That'll help you out, friend. You know, to kind of take it easy for a while, kind of tighten the old belt, and thank God for what we have, because we got a lot. Verse 29, I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field multiply among thee. In other words, you got to be patient with me and look at the scripture and understand I'm not going to do this all in one instant. It's step by step by step. Can you recognize it when it comes to pass? Verse 30. By little and little, I will drive them out from before thee, until thou be increased and inherit the land, until you are able to take it over properly. You know, in the spiritual sense, this is ever so true in these end times. There are times coming where Christians are going to have a tough time. The Coptic Christians in Egypt are having a terrible time right now. Seems like the press kind of backed off of it. Wonder why. Christians had better wake up. You better understand what's happening in this world. But don't worry. God knows, and God protects his own. Little by little, step by step, we crush the enemy. 31. And I will set thy bounds from the Red Sea even unto the Sea of the Philistines at the Mediterranean, and from the desert unto the river, for I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and thou shalt drive them out before thee from the Euphrates all the way on. Look what's before it. Look to the east. Verse 32. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. Well, why would you? Do you know, it's legal in many places for them to lie to you. Their religion allows it. It's okay to lie to them. It's okay to lie to a Christian. And Christians just eat it up. Hook, line, and sinker. Know when you're lied to by watching facts. Verse 33. They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto thee. It'll drag you right in. You'll become a part of it. You know, God's word is so specific and so clear, so simple. It's called common sense. And you must know, Satan is coming to this earth as the false Messiah. And the whole world's going to whore after him. That's what it's written. You're not of this world, as St. John chapter 17 lets you know. You are of Christ. And the angel of God is always before us, with us, and around us. You have absolutely nothing to fear other than fear itself. For fear comes when ignorance is bliss. The way you dispel ignorance is to get into God's Word and educate yourself into the fact that your enemies are God's enemies. Your adversary is an adversary of God's. What chance do you think they have? Zero. Zippo. Little by little, be patient. Father is still on the throne. All right, bless your heart. You listen a moment, won't you please?
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the Mark of the Beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13:23, "Behold, I have foretold you all things." Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the Mark of the Beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of the Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico, throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. If the Spirit moves and you have a question, you share it. Won't you do that? Please never ask a question about a particular reverend, denomination, or organization. We do not judge people. You know, it's trusting no one judges us either, other than the living God. So how precious it is. But always obey God and you'll be blessed of God. So those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you, and we're so glad that so many of you are doing so well. That's fantastic. Hold tight in these tough times. It's going to get a lot better. Now, got a prayer request? We can do away with that number and the address. Why? God knows what you're thinking right now. I don't care where you are around this world. He created you different than anyone else. Your DNA is different. You're unique. Why? God wanted somebody just like you. But He does want you to love Him. Don't ever forget that. Let Him know, won't you? Father, around the globe we come. We ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father. Touch in Yeshua's precious name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, and question time. Casey from Tennessee, do you get paid to preach on TV? Personally, I do not. Okay, but that is my choice. But there is not, every servant is worthy of his hire. It's just that God pays me in other ways. So I get paid, but not from the church. But again, that is my choice. And God and I have that worked out real good. But don't condemn a pastor because he must have a salary if he so chooses. David from Tennessee. As a young man, I was taught that we should treat every day as the Sabbath, though I haven't been able to find it in the Word. Could you please let me know where or if that is in the Word? Yes, it is. In Hebrews chapter 4, you can read that Christ became our Sabbath. He is our rest. And when you have Him and His Word, with that comes peace of mind. And with peace of mind, you can have rest. Without peace of mind, there is no rest. But one of the main places you find is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where it states, "As far as the seasons or the times, you need no one warn you, for you are children of light, not of darkness." In other words, you're never in the night. You're always in that day of the Lord. He's with you. And that's as it is. True children of Christ are in that Word every day. That's one reason I'm glad that this ministry is an everyday ministry. And from Monday through Friday, bang, bang, bang. I mean, keeping you going and in that Word. And, of course, naturally on weekends we teach every day. So there you go. Pastor Murray, Wayne from Indiana. I was wondering if Pastor Arnold Murray is still alive on his TV program. Well, the last time I checked, the old ticker was still ticking and going pretty good. All right, cholesterol weighed the bad stuff way down and the good stuff way up, I like to get out and hear the birds sing every morning, and hey, the way to go. No, I'm very much still alive, and until the Lord is finished with me, I'll be right here just teaching right along, as long as God blesses it and does. But thanks for asking anyway, okay? I think. This is Tracy from Georgia. In Revelation 13:3, it talks of the head of the beast being mortally wounded and then healed. Is this talking about the Antichrist? No, it isn't. What beast is this? It's important that you know. It's multi-headed. What does multi-headed mean? It means it's political. It is the one world political system. It is not a man or a person that receives the deadly wound. It is the one world political system that receives the deadly wound. And presto, Johnny on the spot, false Messiah appears claiming to be Messiah, and the world accepts him as Messiah. Or as whatever religion they might be in, he's their man. Okay, he will claim to be their man. Whether it's Buddha or you name it, he's it. Okay, and they will believe him. And so, but that one that arrives, you'll find in the 11th verse of that 13th chapter, looks like a lamb. Got two horns like a lamb, meaning that's power. What it means is it looks like Jesus Christ. But he's got the voice of the dragon. Why? Because it is the dragon. It is the Antichrist. It is Satan. That's the beast. That's the religious beast, not the political then. In verse 11 of that 13th chapter. Cheryl from Pennsylvania. In these times, what do you believe a Christian should do with savings they have? Mutual funds, 401s, Ks, CDs, and so forth. I am 62 years old, a widow, retired, lost my job in February. I do tithe. I think you're doing just right. You hang on to it and you use it. You use it as you need it. And naturally, when things are up, if you have to make a little draw, that's when you do it. Try everything you can to prevent drawing when things are down. There's one thing about everything always over the long period, and you're young yet. 62 is young. It will be up and down. Always ride the curve. You're doing good. I could not give you any advice. Craig from Tennessee. Question, already having problems in family and friends having the true word. Seems everyone so far thinks I have gone off the edge. But I feel and I know the truth. I need help in fishing. Well, read Mark 3:21. Mark 3:21, they even thought, Christ's family and his friends even thought he'd gone off the deep end. People that have listened to a bunch of hogwash, I probably shouldn't say that, but it just came out, okay, like that, and so we'll leave it that way. You know, when they hear the real truth, it's hard for them to make that change, to shift gears. Hard for them to read God's word, because they'd rather listen to some whatever, okay. But always, it doesn't hurt to listen to a man or a woman, but always check them out in the Word of God. Check out this man or any other man. Make sure what they're saying is portrayed in God's Word as it is written. So don't think a prophet is never with honor among his own, okay? So don't expect it. They're going to always come down on you a little bit. That's fine. You know, you're mature because once you become an adult in God's Word, but by the grace of God, there go I. In other words, you can be generous. Melita from Mississippi. In the millennium, when we can help our family members on the other side of the Gulf, the scripture says, unwed sister, does that mean we cannot help a married sister? Also, is it okay to wear a cross? It's fine to wear a cross. Do you know what the word cross is in Latin? It's torture. That's what a cross is about. It was the crucifixion of Christ. And it means you are Christian. And there's certainly nothing wrong with wearing a cross. It means you are Christian and you understand the price Christ paid for our sins to be forgiven. In the millennium, naturally, an unwed sister is still part in your family. But once a sister marries, she becomes and her husband one. She's away from your family. Okay. But I know that if you be one of God's elect, Zadok, and you have a sister that needs help, I know that God's going to allow it. I'm sure he will. Catherine from Arizona, thank you for your comment. We had a holy war. Please explain and tell me where I can find it in the Bible. Well, you know what a holy war is. It's when people of a different faith fight you because of their faith. Every war that is happening now is a religious war. It is over faith. It is over beliefs, and it will remain this way until the end of time, which we are in the end of time. There will be one religious war after another, and certainly we are in that time that you are seeing. In other words, in Egypt yesterday, the Egyptian army, which was protecting Christians, was running them down with armored vehicles. They killed 40 people, 40 Christians. They wounded 200 Christians. The Islamic Brotherhood has taken over. So that's different faiths. Why are they killing Christians? Cutting the ears off of men. Can you put that together in your mind? They want the men to hear their religion. They don't hear it, they cut off their ears. And they're raping the Christian women. Now, what kind of religion will do those kind of things? I don't think you have to think too hard to figure that out. It certainly isn't of God. Nellie from Ohio. Did Cain make it? When the flood came, was there land that wasn't flooded? No. Who? Genesis chapter 6. Who did God say to Noah to take aboard the ark? Two of every flesh. Was Cain flesh? Of course he was. document that he made it through the flood. 1 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 55. In the tribe of Judah, tacked on to the very end, his scribes, keeping books for him. Don't read over, don't listen over what I'm saying. Separate from Judah, who he had as scribes keeping books for him was the Kenites, sons of Cain, Rahab being the chiefest of them. Okay, so they made it through real good, and they were conniving already, keeping books for Judah way back in the book of Chronicles. This is why scholars today have to take the manuscripts and filter and filter and filter, for the little scribes have been busy. This is Edna from Alabama. Question, Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 through 14. The Life Application Study Bible Commentary states that people who die with their sin unforgiven separate themselves eternally from God. I thought to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Is this true? Absolutely. You have to be very careful of certain commentaries. What does it say when you get past, even in 15, verse 15 of that chapter, if I remember right, I'll say 16, but I think even 15, starts talking about repentance, or those that would change from that way can find forgiveness. Okay, so you're a little hasty to say you've already sent them to hell in 14 and didn't give them the chance in the rest of the chapter to repent. And as you say, they're going, as Luke chapter 16, concerning the paradise. You got good on one side and bad on the other. They're waiting judgment and the millennium. Men kind of are quick sometimes to judge people to hell, and that's God's job. You want to be careful judging people to hell. Kurt from Tennessee, you can wish him a good trip, but don't judge them to hell. That's wrong. Kurt from Tennessee. I have heard preachers say Jesus could come back today. What about rebuilding of the temple, and what about the two witnesses? Don't they come first? Absolutely they do. And what about the false Messiah? He comes first and sets up his kingdom in Jerusalem. That's got to happen first. God's word is very specific, a little bit at a time. But do you know something? I can speak for having taught for many years the Word of God. And many, many years ago, prophecies and benchmarks would come to pass maybe 10 years apart. But as labor pains with a woman happened closer and closer, we have stepped that up to where there are labor pains and there are prophecies coming to pass almost daily, especially weekly. So that is one of the signs given that we're about ready for the birth of a new age. Jeffrey from Pennsylvania. If it be God's will, please ask Pastor Arnold Murray this question about being delivered up before Antichrist in the end time. Well, it was God's will, because here it is. We are not to premeditate what to say before we are delivered up, but are we allowed saying something to Antichrist after the Holy Spirit has spoken through us? I would not recommend it. Okay, what you're saying is, I'm going to let God speak, but then maybe I've got something to add to it. I'd be real, real careful about how I would want to add something to God's Word, because it will be the Holy Spirit speaking through you. I understand where you're coming from, and all of us are antsy, and we would like to tell Him where to go. Okay, we would like to tell Him what we think of Him. But this is one time to let our Father speak through you, and let that be the end of the story, because you're not to premeditate. And I would really think that long and hard about that. Charlene from Oregon. I believe that you have a gift of knowledge and understanding of the history. Thank you. I have been told that it is in the Bible that when the blood was put over the door, the Israelites were instructed to eat the whole lamb. And if you have a leg problem, It is healing to eat the leg of the lamb, and shoulder problems to eat the shoulder. Now, I can't find this in the Bible, but is this a tradition? This person truly believes this. It's not in the Bible, okay? But there's certainly nothing wrong with the leg of a lamb or the shoulder of a lamb. I prefer the leg over the shoulder, but the shoulder's not bad, okay? But it's all just lamb. And if you're not real careful, you take away from the Passover lamb. You see, be real careful, because that's Christ now. Christ became the Passover lamb. And if you really want a healing, when you partake of that bread in Holy Communion, His body got the stripes, you get the healing, whether it's a shoulder, a leg, a mind, or what. He took that beating so that you can have healing. So you see, bring yourself up and know and understand how precious Holy Communion is. Autumn from Georgia. My name is Autumn. I have a question concerning the teaching of the rapture. I understand that you said there is no mention of the rapture in the Bible. However, what does it mean when the Bible says we will be changed in the blink of an eye? Does it mean that we will be taken from here in our political bodies? Is the difference in this and the rapture being that those that believe in the rapture think that they will be taken in their physical bodies? Also, I was at odds with a person trying to discredit Christians. Was I right to tell him that just because you are a good person doesn't automatically get you into heaven? No, that's true. But you're confusing two scriptures, basically. You're quoting the 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52, when at the what? The time is given there. It's very specific. No need to ask questions. It's certainly not the rapture. It is the last trump. The Greek is very specific. It says the farthest trump out. Do you know what the farthest trump out is? That's the last. What happens at the last trump? Christ returns. Okay. And not until Christ returns are we changed into our spiritual bodies and Satan is tucked away in the abyss. Okay. Then we gather back to Christ right here on earth. He's coming here to establish the Millennium Temple. And we're going to be a part of it. And we don't need to go anywhere. We got work to do. Only cowards run. A brave man dies once. A coward dies 1,000 deaths. God is with us. We have the victory. We're going to do what He wants us to do. And so it is. And we got Henry from, this is from a minister of God. After listening to you and your sons for the past several years, learning the truth and checking you out in the Word of God, telling the truth included that there is no rapture, I am totally lost as to what to do now that I can't preach or teach the doctrine that we believed in anymore as being the truth. I have silenced myself, refusing to speak or teach at the church anymore. I am not lost, and I'm thankful of coming into the full understanding of my purpose in these end times. But why do I feel poor after buying the pearl of great price? You really shouldn't. You are trained. You're skilled. God's gifts of teaching and minister, as it is written in Romans 11, are not rebukable. When He puts His finger on you and you're it. There's no changing it. And therefore, start your own. Okay? You don't have to have a church to teach truth. You can start a little Bible study. And I don't know, it may be good to be away from this. I think you even you could even move away a little distance to start a Bible study or whatever, your choice, or start it locally. but teach. God has chosen you, but then it is true that your main destiny is to witness against the false one. You be a good one. You bought the pearl of great price, and you shine like a new child of God. You hang tough. Julie from Missouri, how do we make sure the Holy Spirit dwells within us, and how do we know for sure that we're saved? Well, do you love the Lord? If you love Him, God so loved the world and those that are in it that those that will believe, that's the qualification upon His Son. Do you? Do you believe upon His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? Then you certainly shall not perish, but you shall have eternal life, meaning you're saved. I'm out of time. I love you all because you enjoy studying our Father's Word chapter by chapter, verse by verse. But most of all, God loves you for reading His letter that He sent to you. Children of God that love God, make His day. And when you make His day, boy, is He going to make yours. You can count on it. He loves you. Return that love. We're brought to you by your tithes and offering. If we have helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Won't you do that? Most of all, you bless God, and He will always bless you. Listen to me real good now. You stay in His Word every day. And His Word is a good day, even with trouble. You know why? Because Jesus Yeshua is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God.